The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
Welcome to episode 6 of Travel with Hawkeye. Very excited that joining us today, Oscar award-winning actor Louis Gossett Jr. Going to talk a little bit about his life, about his travels, and how his life and travels have influenced his philosophy on life. Louis Gossett Jr., you remember him from Officer and Gentleman, Sergeant Foley, the drill instructor. One of my favorite movies, and just an iconic role. Of course, he won the Oscars for that, as I said before. Louis Gossett Jr. is going to be joining us shortly on the podcast. Also, there's a company out there that I discovered, and they offer a travel service. I've never seen anybody ever offer this travel service before. And I asked one of the founders of the company to join us. It's almost a public service more than it is a company. It's called Pangea 196. And what this company does, if you have a job where you can work anywhere, you could travel the world with this company, Pangea 196, and do your job all over the world. And every month they take you to a new city. And basically, less than what you would pay for rent for an apartment in the U.S., you pay for your apartment. It could be in Buenos Aires, Argentina, or it could be in Italy, or it could be in Tokyo, because every month they go to a different city. And I talked to actually someone who was on this trip. They said they actually spend less money traveling the world this way because they're in a different city every month set up by this company, Pangea 196, than they would if they had an apartment in any major U.S. city. They don't have to have a car or car insurance. They're not paying rent or utilities. They're paying just one price to this company. They stay in an apartment every month. They go to a new city. It's not for everybody, but I tell you what, there's a lot more people, I think, that would consider it if their jobs were conducive to it and they wanted to travel. And we'll talk to Lawrence Kalinoff, founder of Pangea 196, also on the podcast. And I kind of want to start the podcast off today with a little experience of mine on how to save money traveling. And I am not an endorser for this company or, by the way, for Pangea 196. They didn't pay to be on this podcast. This is just something that I have found. This was actually passed to me from my dad. And I actually ran into these people this past weekend at the Dallas Travel Show. It's a company called Gate One Travel. And, you know, when you book package deals, you can usually save money. But I get their emails. I get an email about every week, every 2 weeks. And some of the deals that they give are just so incredible. And if you've got the time, because really that's what traveling is about, I mean, planning for, you got to have the money and the time. If you've got the time, you can really see the world at a very reduced price through this company. And I asked them how they're able to do it. And they said, well, they just buy in such bulk and they pass it on to people. And like, for instance, this deal may not be available now because I got the email later in the week. And I don't know when you've tuned into this podcast, but here's a deal. This is just, they probably have like 20 different trips that they offer on these emails. And you can go to their website, gateonetravel.com, also, and see it there. 10-day tour of Croatia and Slovenia, including airfare. And also you get an opportunity to have breakfast and a couple dinners on this deal. And that deal, 10 days in Croatia and Slovenia with airfare, is going for $999. That's less than $100 a day. You can't stay in a hotel in Dallas for $100 a day, and you're flying over that, and your airfare is included. That's just one deal. So my point here is being, if I were you, I would go to gateonetravel.com and sign up for their emails. Now, you may not have the days that some of these trips are offered. You may not be able to go on those dates. But, you know, I've taken a couple trips from Gate One Travel, and I've saved a lot of money. And it's where I usually start. And, like, it's always been on my bucket list to go to Croatia. If, you know, I kind of got my vacation planned for this year, so that's not on my radar. But stuff like that comes up all the time. And so I just wanted to point that out. Once again, I'm not an endorser for Gate One Travel. I just really like their travel service. You can always buy package, you know, tours. You've always told you can buy package, you save money if you buy package tours. And this company really just does a great job. Here's another one on here too. A 13-day tour of Morocco, including flights, 13-day tour, $13,999. You're going to Morocco basically for $100 a day. Now, I don't have time to take a 2-week vacation, but if you're retired or you do have time, this may be someone you want to check out. Once again, it's called Gate One Travel. If you forget about it, you can go to our podcast. I'll have it listed in. You can go to our website, travelwithhawkeye.net. Click on our blog, and I will pass on a website. And once again, I do not endorse. I'm not a paid spokesman for this company. It's just a company that I've used in the past, and I just really like their service. So if you're looking for a travel agent, you might want to check that out. Another company that I am not an endorser for, but I just found out about it a short time ago when someone tweeted and said, hey, I'm traveling the world. I'm going to a different city every month. And I used to listen to you all the time when I lived in Dallas, and I just thought I'd shout out and say hello from Argentina. And I said, what do you mean you travel the world? And she says, well, I booked a tour with Pangea196.com. You need to check it out because we're going all over the world this year. So I went to their website, Pangea196, and I contacted one of the founders. I have Lawrence Kalinoff on the phone with us. And so you are one of the founders of Pangea196.
That's right, I am. I started the company with two other individuals in the beginning of last year. We've been working hard towards getting a first trip going, and this past January our first trip launched.
Okay. This is one of the most unique things I've ever seen, and I'm very excited about it. If I had a job that was conducive to this, this would be my dream to be part of this organization. Or not, I guess you're not part of an organization, but tell everybody what you do.
So we're really sort of a facilitator because we get together a group of people that have the ability to work from anywhere. And we provide the setup for them so that they can travel while they focus on their jobs. And so what our program provides for them is all the travel arrangements between the countries. We provide apartments with private bedrooms in those countries. We have a host that travels with them throughout the trip. And then we also have local hosts to facilitate their integration into the community while they're there. And so while we're providing those things, the people can focus on their careers, and they have the opportunity to work in co-working spaces during the day, or they can work from their apartment. We make sure there's Wi-Fi for them available so that while they're able to enjoy the trip, they're also able to keep their job. So it's not really a vacation per se. It's actually just their lifestyle.
Yes. And you've got this. So every month they move to a new city somewhere on the planet, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. You said you formed this company and you started this year, but you've got a wife and kids. Are you actually on this journey also, or are you, this is more of a business?
I am not on the journey. There are parts of the trip that we join, especially in the summertime, because it's a little easier for us. This is a business for us. However, it's something that we're very passionate about. And we've gotten a really great host, and we have an additional host that'll be joining for the European portion in May. And so it's something that we're very passionate about making happen for a variety of people.
And in fact, your host, Julie, is the one who contacted me on Twitter because she actually is from Dallas, where I live, and she listened to my morning radio show, and she says, hey, you may be interested in this company. And that's how I found out about it. So, and as soon as I saw it, I thought, wow, I kind of wish that I was able to work out of my house and could travel around the world and join Pangea 196, because I think this is an excellent idea. Now, you have like the year split up into three different parts of the world. Like the first part, the first 4 months, you'll be in South America, correct?
That's right.
And then in the summer, you'll be in Europe. And then in the fall and winter, you'll be in Asia.
That's correct. Yeah. So we try to do it where the weather is optimal for the variety of seasons. We thought that would be make it pleasant for everybody, because we didn't want to send people to Europe, for example, in the winter per se. Not that, some people won't enjoy winter sports or something along those lines. We just thought the commute to the workspace will be a little better for them and more enjoyable.
Okay. And before we get to where all you're visiting and what it's like in each one of these cities, basically, you're going to be living in an apartment for a month. Like, say, in the summer, you're going to be in Prague in the Czech Republic for a month. The amazing thing to me about this is the cost is sometimes or almost all the time less than you would spend, like if you spent a month in Dallas on rent.
That's absolutely right. I mean, that was one of the things that we looked at and thought, instead of spending your time in an apartment in Dallas or in San Francisco or somewhere where you're going to be paying up to $1,500, $2,000 a month, you could literally be traveling the world while doing this and actually do it for a little bit cheaper. And one of the ways we do that is, one, the cost of living in some of these cities is a little less. But secondly, we group together 2 to 3 people into an apartment. So you get your own private room, you have a shared kitchen, and we're able to get the cost benefit of that.
Yeah, because the cost is basically comes out to, there's different ways you could pay for it. You could pay a little bit front, but it comes out to about $2,000 a month to live in all these different cities, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. And also, with that is, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't like your airfare to go from one city to the next and when the month ends, that's also included in that $2,000?
That is included. The only airfare that's not included is the initial trip in and the initial flight out, because people are coming from different points of the world.
Okay, okay. And also, you don't have to do this for the whole year. If you just want to do you can cut it down to different legs. If you just want to do the European leg, like for instance, if you just want to spend 4 months in Europe, you can do that, correct?
That's right. And we provide a 4 and 8 month option. Part of the reason for that is some people can't get away for too long, for example, but also certain people are limited by time zones with their job. Some people we found can't do Asia, for example, because it's a little too complicated for the time difference. So we provide an opportunity for them to just join for the South American or European leg.
Yeah. So if you just wanted to go for 4 months in Europe at $2,000 a month, that would be very, very hard to do, to set up accommodations for $2,000 to spend a whole month like in Prague. That's not easy to do. But with this, you can.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, but it gives the advantage of actually being around other people that are working. So like, there was a time where I used to live in New York and shortly after college, and I always enjoyed the vibe you get when you have that morning commute and working around other people. And I think that's something that you can miss if you're a telecommuter and you're working just from home. You're not around other people where you can learn other skills from them, even if they're from another industry. And that's something that our group focuses on trying to provide.
And there's even another thing, and correct me if I'm wrong again, because this is just such an amazing idea that you guys do, and I really appreciate it. So if you're listening right now and go, wow, I wish I had a job where, you know, that I could work like in Budapest for a month and then move to another country after that. You actually have employers who are looking for people who do this kind of work, correct?
That's exactly right. So there are places that you can go to find jobs that are remote jobs in a variety of fields. There's HR fields, software development, of course, sales. So you get quite a variety. We've had writers, poets. So we are interested in making sure that we think this is the future as far as work. You know, it used to be that people asked, you know, where do you work? And now we find that people are asking, what do you do? Because people are changing the place they work for often, or they work in part of the gig economy or do contract work. And so it's not as important where they work, but rather what they're doing. And so in of those variety of fields, there are a lot of websites you can go to, and we have some of those on our website where you can try to find a job that is a remote job. And one of the things we're also finding is that corporations are seeing the benefit of remote work because they don't have the overhead, they have less liability, it leads to greater retention and happiness amongst their employees, because there are a lot of people that are really looking for that sort of lifestyle.
So let's talk a little bit about where you're all traveling. Now, we're obviously into April, so you're almost done with the South American leg of the Pangea 196 tour 2017, which, by the way, I will say, you got to go to their website, and I'll have this linked on our blog and everything. You'll find it there. But you guys are already planning for 2018 also, right?
That's correct. We're going to be announcing our destinations this week, actually. And I can tell you that one place we're happy to be adding is a country in Africa. We'll be going to Cape Town, South Africa.
For a month, to live in Cape Town, South Africa for a month.
That's right. That's
okay. Right. Well, you know, let me do this. You guys are in South America right now, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But your next trip is, you're going from Buenos Aires, Argentina, you're going to be moving to Italy. So you guys will be living in Italy for a month.
That's right. We'll be in Como, Italy, which is in the north of Italy, on Lake Como. And we'll be spending a month there for May.
Wow. A month in, with George Clooney. Yeah, he's going to be your neighbor.
Yeah, that's right.
He lives on the lake, too. So.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And how do you guys find accommodations all over the world, in all these different cities that you're staying at?
So we use a variety of means. One is that we look at local advertising in their language. We find that it tends to be a little bit different than if you're trying to use some of the sites that are geared towards foreigners that are more for luxury vacation rentals. Rather, we're looking for what somebody who's actually in Como, Italy, for example, and looking for a furnished apartment would go to, and try to find that resource, because we find they're much more economical. And then we negotiate with them having a 1 month lease with them.
Okay, so a month in Italy, in Como, Italy. Then where do you guys go in June? Where do you head for in June?
So then we head to Prague, Czech Republic, which is a really beautiful city. And from there, we head to Budapest, Hungary for July. And then we'll be heading to Varna, Bulgaria for the month of August.
Okay. And if you just wanted to go for the European branch of this tour and live a month in those four cities, you could do that. And you just have to get to, Como, Italy to start and then fly home from Bulgaria at the end. But you guys fly them from city to city, or you transport them from city to city during this 4 month
That's right.
European leg. Yeah.
That's right.
And tell us, what are the accommodations like? Because I'm sure a lot of people are asking, you said an apartment, but is it a neighborhood? Is it in a commercial district? What are these apartments like?
So we pick central locations that are close to the co-working space. So we try to limit the commute to 20 minutes and preferably within walking distance of the co-working space. And we do modern apartments that have air conditioning and modern accommodations, Wi-Fi, kitchen. We're definitely not looking for it to be a hostel-like experience because we think it's not as conducive to working, especially on a long-term basis. And we have some pictures of examples of apartments on our website. And I know if you looked at our Instagram photos or Facebook photos, you can also see what some of the apartments look like.
So that's the European leg. And then in September, if you want to continue on, you can end it there. You can say you'd have 4 month options or 8 month options or a whole year option. But in the fall and early winter, you guys are headed to Asia, correct?
That's right. We'll be heading to Phuket, Thailand for the month of September. And then we'll be going to Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon for October. And we recently actually changed our November destination from Shanghai to Bali, and then we'll be going to Tokyo for December.
Okay.
And the reason we changed the Shanghai is because of some difficulties related to visas and then also internet suppression. There's a lot of websites you can't actually go to, and we thought it's a little too complicated. We really would like to go to Shanghai, but I think at this time it's a little too complicated.
Hey, my parents have been to Bali like 8 times. Bali is awesome, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Now, you said there's like a shared workspace. It sounds like, so you don't, you're not just like tied down to this apartment. You can get out and you have an office facility of sorts for you to work in. Is that correct?
That's right. So aside from having the apartment, we have the shared office space where you can work during the day and that everyone goes there and works. At those places, there's networking events amongst locals and amongst the group, which provides an opportunity for people to integrate with the local business community and local entrepreneurial community. And then we also do excursions to in each country based on what geographical or urban type adventures are most well suited to that city.
Yeah, it's not just all work. And because, hey, if you live here in Dallas or you live in Chicago or San Francisco, you're not working all the time. You have the weekend off. The difference here is now you have the weekend off in Phuket, Thailand.
That's right. Exactly. And you get to go see some great things.
So I want to touch on a little bit where this started at this year. You guys started your first 4 months in South America, and you guys are about ready. This is your last month in Buenos Aires, but where else did you guys go in South America?
Okay, so we kicked off in Quito, Ecuador, And from there, we headed to Valparaiso, Chile.
When that, I've never been to that town. I've been to Santiago, but I heard that's kind of like a little San Francisco on the bay. I think it's on the World Heritage Site, is it not?
That is right. Yeah, it's one of the oldest cities in Chile, and it's an old university town, and it's a very colorful town. And it's on a smaller scale. Where you can walk around the entire town. It's got a lot of cultural sites to view, and it's actually just a really cool town. And from there, we headed to Montevideo, Uruguay. And Montevideo is across the bay from Buenos Aires, so for that commute, or for that travel between the Montevideo and Buenos Aires, we actually took a ferry, which is a neat experience.
Yeah, go on the website and check out these towns in South America, because they're all modern cities, or actually Valparaiso is not one, but they're all, I mean, they're all very interesting cities, and, you know, it's not some third world by any means. I mean, it's very kind of modern lifestyle, looks like, that you're living in these cities.
Yeah, so one of the things we did is try to have a mix of urban places, some smaller towns, some seaside towns, some more mountainous towns. We tried to mix it up as much as possible, while also keeping in mind that we had to balance not only the cost for us, but also for the people traveling on the group, because people set a budget for their month. And if we spent all 12 months in a country like Tokyo, it might be a little expensive for people as far as going out and entertainment. So we tried to mix it up.
And I figure that most of these cities, too, are cities that you don't need your own transportation. They have public transportation, or you can walk. There are cities that are, you know, like most European cities, it's easy to get around and not own a car.
That's right. Definitely don't need an automobile in any of the towns. And we pick the apartments and co-working spaces with that in mind.
Well, I would definitely, if this interests you, and I tell you what, this really interests me. And actually, I talked to my wife about this, because you actually have couples. It's available for couples also, not just single people. You can do this as a couple, correct?
That's right.
I would highly recommend you go to the website, Pangea 196. How did you get the name for your company?
So Pangea for us, you know, it's sort of the bringing together of the world. And so in our minds, it's sort of like a new Pangea, like things are coming back to where it's so small that being in one country all the way across the world still gives you access to the other part of the world. And then the 196 is from the number of countries in the world. And so one of our goals is to hit as many of those countries as possible. So on our new itinerary, we'll have a mix of some new cities and then some cities that we've already gone to as well.
Well, now that this is the first year you've done this, has there been any pleasant surprises, like something you didn't really anticipate that's been a lot like, wow, this worked out better, or we never even thought that this would happen with one of our trips?
One of the things that has been surprising is how wonderful the local hosts have been, and how interested people are in making their country really shine for themselves. And it's been a really wonderful experience getting that help from people integrating into the communities, because we really want people to, you know, one of the things we do is pick a small enough group size where we don't actually change the atmosphere there. We can still be influenced by the atmosphere that's already existing. And so it's been really nice to have people be able to integrate into communities like that.
Well, when I saw this, if my life situation was a little bit different, I would jump on this in a second. I was so excited to see this. What a great idea, because I love to travel. But to me, the best way to get to know a city is to live there and work there. And I can't think of a better way to do that than what you guys have dreamed up. And just the cost to do it, too, is pretty impressive. I mean, you have a little graph somewhere on your chart, on your website, like to live a month in like San Francisco or New York or Chicago, you're talking at least $3,000 for rent, not to mention car insurance, car note and all that. You can get rid of all that and live all over the world for a year for just $2,000 a month.
That's right. I mean, this is achievable. It's not like a pipe dream, and there are people doing it. And I think more and more people will be looking towards something like this, where they can really take advantage of the opportunity. You know, there's a trade-off where companies are not as devoted to keeping employees long-term anymore. But the trade-off is that employees get the benefit of having more opportunities as well.
Well, congratulations and continued success, Lawrence. I think it's a great idea, and I hope someday to maybe jump on tour for a few months in the summer in Europe or in Asia or South America, either way, because I'd love to experience the world through Pangea 196. And the website's called Pangea196.com. I'll have it linked up to our blog, and just a great idea. My hat's off to you. I really like what you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Hawkeye, and we'd love to have you if you can join us at some leg.
I am guilty of getting excited about people who get to travel the world for an extended period of time. I would love to work abroad. All right, let's shift gears here, because I'm equally excited to have our very first Oscar award-winning actor on Travel with Hawkeye. You know him from the role Officer and a Gentleman, Sergeant Foley, and that's what he won the Oscar for, Best Supporting Actor. Lou Gossett Jr., Mr. Gossett, a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Hey, Hawkeye from Big D.
Yes. Are you familiar with our humble community here?
No, I love it. I love it. Especially the Cowboys.
Yes, we are known for the Dallas Cowboys. Yes. Are you a Cowboy fan?
I love them. I like them from top to bottom.
Because I know you're originally from New York. I did a little research into you. You grew up, did a little high school sports, had a chance to do some college sports if you wanted to.
But, yeah.
But so I know you're very athletic. So I would think that maybe, though, you'd be a fan of the Giants or the Jets.
Well, no, at the time I was a fan of the Steel Curtain.
Oh, well, they're a very good team, very good team.
I mean, when you see excellent athletes, you kind of, it's a no-brainer to root for them.
Well, first of all, it's kind of exciting having an Oscar award-winning actor here on the show. I guess the first thing I would like to ask is, do you remember that moment? Is that embedded in your memory when they called out your name?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think it was possible, you know, it's a tribute. It's a tradition in the Academy. If somebody's in the twilight of their career and they do a magnificent performance, they get an Oscar. So on my left was James Mason. Mm-hmm. And on my right was Robert Preston. It was their last movies, and they were magnificent in those movies. And then there was John Lithgow, and then there was Charles Durning. So I was happy to be in the top five.
Yeah, that's
Belays, you know, and they said your name.
Pretty steady company there, you know, James Mason, Charles Durning, and all. So I could see, yeah. And your role there was so iconic. I mean, it was just it etched itself in America's collective memory in An Officer and a Gentleman.
Wow, that's nice. I like that phrase. Etched yourself in. I'm going to steal it. Can I?
You are more than welcome to steal it, because that's how I feel. I mean, I'm a son of a military officer, and so I be honest, you portrayed someone who I have met a million times, because I've met people that were involved with my father's career that were very much like the gentleman that you portrayed in Officer and a Gentleman.
Well, when you get that shot, you make sure you have to do it right, because they do damage to you if you don't. I went down to basic training and learned how to do that.
Oh, so okay.
They're with me, so they really they deserve the Oscar. They taught me, and they kept the movie straight.
That is really cool. I didn't.
Hollywood movie. It was a true story.
Yes, yes. That's really interesting, because I didn't realize that at the time watching that you had actually spent that time researching that role. Well, I want to ask you about something else that you're involved in now. You have a foundation called the Eracism Foundation that you started, and
yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was a result of my life and stuff and all the things that happened because my skin was black. But I wasn't raised that way. I was raised in a diverse neighborhood. Well, not black neighborhood. It was right after the Depression. Mm-hmm. We relied on one another, and it was those particular people who took me to where I was, to Broadway, that made me president of schools and stuff, and that was embedded in my life. And in my travels, I found it's not the case everywhere. And I think we need to make that the case everywhere. One nation under God, indivisible. And if people are saying that they're superior, they have more money, more weapons, and it's getting global, and we're forgetting about the one thing. We have to take care of this planet. The water, the balance of nature, so that we get enough to eat and our children are surviving. And we get and racism is now a cancer to that growth. It's getting in the way of the automatic assumption of superiority. If we're not doing that, then we all may as well be in this great big 747 airplane that's about to crash. But everybody in the plane is fighting over who's going to be in first class. We have to save the plane.
You know what I find interesting is I would not have thought you, who grew up, you said, in the Depression, would have grown up in a diverse community, because America at that time was very segregated, was it not?
Well, not in my neighborhood. It was right after the Depression.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was poor, and we have broomstick candles instead of bats. We fed one another. If our children, if our parents didn't get home in time, we'd go next door and get a diverse kind of thing. Gefilte fish, lasagna, corned beef and cabbage, menudo. It depends on who was home.
Wow. That is, you might have lived, now you grew up in Brooklyn, so that might have been one of the most diverse neighborhoods in all of the U.S.
And those neighborhoods in Brooklyn, Barbara Streisand's came out of there, the Neil Sedaka's, the Carol King's, Arthur Miller's, Jackie Robinson was the first black baseball player for the Brooklyn Dodgers. We took care of it, and it was those people who put me on their shoulders and got me at the age of 17 in a lead in a Broadway show. That's not supposed to be possible. That society is what America should be. It promises to be because of the Pledge of Allegiance and the stuff that those forefathers wrote. We need to go to that, one nation under God, indivisible, and then show the rest of the world by example how this system works beautifully.
When you were growing up, did you realize what it was like to be young and black in the southern part of the U.S.? Because, as you said, you grew up in a very diverse community where everybody took care of each other, and it was quite a different experience for someone who was young and black in the South. Did you realize what it was like there?
Not to the bone, because I would go down to my uncle's farm in Georgia and go from the train to the car to the farm. So I didn't have a visceral idea of what that was about until 1966 when I got off a plane in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, of all places.
Los Angeles. And so I was a hippie, you know what those guys were.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yes.
And that was free love, and then we took care of one another, the Bob Dylans, et cetera. So I was kind of flying on that kite, if you know what I'm saying. I did the first movie of the week in Universal, and that's Lou Wasserman, and the William Morris agency sent me out there, and everything was beautiful. And they gave me a car to ride. And I was in this car listening to Sam Cooke music, and the LAPD took me out of the car and they handcuffed me to a tree for walking in the streets after 9 o'clock. I had no idea about racism until then, about the depth of it and how subtle it can be. So then I started to grow up. I think it's a cancer to our American promise. We promised to be one another, to take better care of one another. All of us came from in places where there was atrocity, Germany and Africa, wherever it was, to come to this country for the American promise. And that American promise can't be diluted with racism and the automatic assumption of superiority. We need to do this together and show the world by example. And if we're doing that, and our young people are asking for those lessons that have stopped of behavior, and they have power, but they're immature, those lessons give them immature decisions. Gangsterism and gangbanging is not the way to go. The world is copying our children, but with the lessons, they can copy something better.
You mentioned a few times, we're talking with Louis Gossett Jr., and you mentioned a few times how, you know, we need to be an example to the world. Would I be correct in assuming that you've had the opportunity to travel all over the world?
Absolutely, more than once.
In cultures that are not as diverse as the American culture, is racism a problem there, or is it a different type of problem there, or is it no problem at all?
It's a problem globally. It's a global problem where somebody says that they are better, they have more weapons so they can run things, when we're supposed to be on the planet for the one thing, the caretaker of this planet, of the weather, the clearing up of the water, the food must be healthy, the cessation of disease. That's enough of a job. And the cancer of racism is like cancer in the body. It interrupts a healthy system. And it happens everywhere. It's not just here in America. But if we, by example, and with for what it's worth, teach our children, once we get it, the answer, how to behave together for one single purpose, is to make this one nation under God indivisible, things begin to get better by example. And so we need each other. It's like the best example is the sports. They come from everywhere in the world to win a championship. They hold hands at the beginning, and they win a championship, and they come from everywhere to win a championship, everywhere. And we need to do that here in this country before we go into our little factions and causes. Nobody's going to win. We may as well be in that airplane and fighting over who's going to be in first class. And we're all in first class.
Let me ask you a question before because I know your time is short here, and I really appreciate the moment you've spent with us today. You've gotten the opportunity to travel all over the world. If there was one place in the world that you would like to visit again that just took your breath away, what would that be for Louis Gossett Jr.?
Quite a few places. The Dead Sea in Israel, Jerusalem, Cape Town, South Africa, Rio, some beautiful places in this world. A place in Iceland, Frobisher Bay up in north of Montreal. Just beautiful places. Squamish, outside of Vancouver. Just some beautiful places in this world.
Okay, you have just probably named four or five of the most diverse places on the planet that have nothing in common, from the Dead Sea to Frobisher Bay, which, by the way, I know that area well because my dad was stationed there as a young man in the military. And what was so attractive to you about Frobisher Bay in Canada?
Frobisher Bay, I did a movie called about the Eskimos rescuing the three whalers.
Okay.
White Dawn, it was called. It was
Yes.
Timothy Bottoms, myself, and Warren Oates.
Okay.
And 75 Inuits. And their system of living in that environment was a revelation.
Really?
You learn the bottom line is they all work together and they all have something to do for their mutual survival. A lesson for those of us in the so-called sophisticated world. And in Africa, the same thing. And in different places, and it's the same thing. In Rio, the same thing. Especially North Brazil, where it's Recife and Bahia, it's the same. We need one another desperately for our mutual salvation.
And that is so interesting, is that what you've picked up. You know, we all get something else out of travel, but this has kind of been a theme of your life, it seems like, and that's what you pick up when you travel, is that what you've noticed of people, is how they get along with diverse cultures and how they depend on each other. And that's something that's been embedded from you from a very early age.
Jamaica on the top of that list, too.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Louis Gossett, Jr., continued success. Thank you for the time this morning. It's been fascinating to talk to you.
Okay, no, the biggest subject is Maya Angelou's And Still I Rise. Look in your directory and find out when it's on. Please,
yes,
watch.
On PBS. I just started watching that last night, and what a fascinating life that she has had. There are so many things I learned just in the first 30 minutes that I got to watch so far about her that I had no idea about.
Amazing woman. The Poet Laureate of America.
Yes, she definitely is, and you're featured in that PBS documentary on Maya Angelou. Thank you again, Louis Gossett, Jr. Appreciate the time.
Talk to you later.
All right, the boys in production are telling me to wrap it up. Thanks to Louis Gossett, Jr. for joining us, and also Lawrence Kalinoff from Pangea 196. This has been episode number 6 of Travel with Hawkeye. Don't forget to check out our website, travelwithhawkeye.net, travelwithhawkeye.net. You can find past podcasts there, and also links to things we talked about on past podcasts and this current one. For all of you, thank you for joining us on Travel with Hawkeye. Remember, your adventure awaits.